In the 1800s, there was two kinds of transportation in and out of Chattanooga. One was the train, and the other was riverboats. Now, the problem that Chattanooga had was something called the Gorge, and many of you have probably been down the river to see the Gorge, but it's kind of like a very deep, kind of like a Grand Canyon, a really deep canyon, and the river was very low, so you would have all kinds of rapids, and you'd have some places. The riverboatmen named the Pan was one bad place, the Skillet was one bad place, the Suck was a really bad place where it would suck the whole boat down. And so the city fathers got together and said, we got to do something about our transportation on a river. So there was a man named Josephus Guild, who was an engineer in Chattanooga, and he said, look, I can take care of the problem. I'll build a dam across the river. The river will rise, and then you won't have all these difficult problems. So actually, the city fathers, and he also said, look, I'll build it out of my own pocket if you'll give me the rights to all the electricity it generates. Well, they liked that idea because they didn't have to pay anything. So it actually went all the way up to the Congress, and that was approved. And in 1905, he started building. Well, it took a long time. It took boxcar loads of cement. He picked the place to have the dam at the narrowest place, which makes sense, right? So he built the dam, and in 1913, they had the inaugural, what do you call it? Not a dedication, but a party. Yeah, it finished. They said it was the biggest celebration in the history of Chattanooga. They had dancing, they had banquets, they had speeches, they had all kinds of bands playing. They had fireworks at night. And actually, I don't know if you knew this, but it was the second largest hydroelectric plant in the United States. The only one bigger was Niagara Falls. I mean, we're talking a major dam here. Well, very soon, they started having problems. What happened is they built it on granite. The foundation was on granite. And granite is really good at having pockets of clay in it. Granite is really good about having most of your caves are made out of granite. You know, they're hollowed out. So what would happen is that the weight of the dam would press down on a pocket. The pocket would crumble, and it would send a crack up into the dam. Well, they tried concrete, they tried asphalt, they tried mattresses, blankets, rags. They had something called the rag crew that would run out there whenever they had a leak. One thing that I can't figure out why is they even tried a truckload of corsets. I guess they figured if it sucked air out of the women, that maybe it'd suck water out of the dam. I don't know. But anyway, they put a truckload of corsets in the dam. Whatever they did, nothing worked, and it kept getting more and more leaks. They'd plug up one leak, it'd pop out of another one. So finally, they decided, look, about that time, TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority, bought out Mr. Guild's rights to the dam, and they did their thing. And finally, they decided, "Look, we're gonna just have to build another dam." So they went 6 miles downstream, where the rock was a different kind of rock. It was not; it was bedrock, actually. It was longer, but it was bedrock. And then they dynamited the dam out. You can still see, coming back from our trip a few days ago, there is still the old powerhouse, and it's crumbling, and it's by itself, it's deserted, it's falling down, and you can see the end of an era, all because of what? Not good foundation. Well, you know, the Bible talks about foundations too, and if you have a Bible, if you would turn to Matthew 7, let's look at what Jesus says about foundations. Matthew 7 is up front here. I'm not sure if my voice is going to last, but we'll give it a shot. Matthew 7 is what? What is usually what we call this section of Matthew? Sermon on the Mount, yeah. Matthew 7 is a Sermon on the Mount, and let's go to verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to who? A wise man who built his house on what? The rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did what? It did not fall, for it was what? On the rock. Then 26, but whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on what? And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did what? And great was its fall. Very simple story. We've all heard it all of our lives, if you're a Christian. But I'd like to look at that, look at this story today. And if you don't mind, I'd rather have a class type thing rather than just me preaching at you. Somebody agrees. Okay, how many houses do we have? Two houses, okay. And we have two builders, let's say. They're both builders. Okay, does it say what building materials? Do you think the building materials was the same? Well, yeah, probably. I mean, I'm not sure what Palestine building materials were. I guess rock or adobe or something like that, wood. They're probably the same. It's the foundation that matters, exactly. So what else is the same? Okay, the rain's the same. The rain came down, the floods came up. What else? They're both men, okay? So they're, wind, we both have wind. They both heard the words. Okay, good. What about location? Are they in the same place? Are you sure about that? Well, one dug down to the rock, but it doesn't say that they were far apart. I want to tell you something. In Palestine, when it's hot, you know, during the dry season, the sand can become like rock. I mean, just like Tennessee or Georgia. I mean, I've been building a house, and I'm working on the foundation for my porches now, and we're going to have wraparound porches. I'm telling you, this ground right now, it's like rock. I mean, trying to go down a foot, I'm using rock bars and rock drills and everything else trying to get down. Well, it's the same way in Palestine. So it looks like rock. It feels like rock. It digs like rock. But guess what? When the rain comes, what happens? Yeah, it just dissolves away just like sand does. So maybe the guy really thought he was building on rock, but it was sand. What else? Anything else that we can look at? That's all I found. Now, let's look at, would you call this a parable? I mean, it may have happened. I don't know. We're not told. but I think we can say that it's a parable. And parables have, you know, the things stand for something. So what do the houses stand for? Huh? Us? What specifically about us? Bruce? Spiritual life. Character. Character. I believe it's character. Not against Bruce, but he is my brother-in-law. But yeah, I think it's character. Okay, what is sand represent? Okay, world, something else. Okay, it could, yeah. Beliefs, okay. What does Jesus say? Yeah. Notice that both people heard the words, but what does it say? It says, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to the wise man. Whoever hears the sayings and doesn't do them, I will liken him to the foolish man. I think sand stands for easy. I don't have to do anything. I can just go along with whatever I'm doing. Guess what? You're either building on the rock, Jesus Christ, the rock, or you're building on what? There isn't half rock and half sand. It's all sand or it's all rock. Yeah, it's the easy. It's not doing anything. Okay, what's rain? Trials, hardships, you know, things that come into your life that just blow you away, knock you down. It could be, you know, physical problems. It could be mental problems. Whatever kind of problem that that Satan brings to you would be considered the rain. And then who is the rock? Jesus Christ is the rock. Yeah, but it's not just the rock. It's what? What does Jesus say? His words, but what? This is the key to the whole sermon. Huh? Yeah, you're all mixing around there in that whirlpool. What? He's the foundation, but he says his words, if we actually do them. Thank you. We hear the words. Guess what? We come to church on Sabbath. We hear all kinds of stuff, right? And it's really good stuff. But is it going to help us? Is it going to help build our character? If what? If we don't do them. We have to do them before it can become part of us. Is that right? Without doing them, it just goes in one ear and out the other, as they say, right? Yeah. One man's house stood, one man's house fell. And the difference is one did followed the work of Jesus and one didn't. Now, I'm going to equate, you may not agree with it, but I want to equate the foundation with our character. I personally think that's what Jesus is talking about. So how do we use those words? How do we understand those words that we hear or read in the Bible? How do we apply that to our character? Okay? It's easier and quicker to build your house without a foundation. It's easier and quicker to do nothing about your character, and guess what? That is a kind of character. But all of our characters will be tried. If not in this life, what? In the judgment, yeah. Where all of our characters will be tried sooner or later. And there's no, we have to take this word and somehow turn it into our character in order to have that firm foundation. Okay, point one. Foundation building is a lifetime process. Guess what? You cannot just run out there, take what Jesus says, what you heard on the sermon, and have your firm foundation. It is a block, maybe. Maybe it's a half a block. Maybe it's a brick. I mean, it's a start, but is it going to be your whole foundation? No. It takes a lifetime, and in order to do something for a lifetime, it has to become what? A habit, exactly. So in order to have something become a habit, what do we got to do? Got to do it. Got to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Get in the habit of doing that. Doing it till it becomes second nature to listen, to read, to pray, and then apply those things to our life, our life character. Every cherished ambition, every formulated thought, every thought-filled word, every responsive action is a block in the gradual building of the structure we raise up as our life. Oh, that is... You mean if I go out there and do something I shouldn't do, that is a... I'm tearing down a block in my character? That's a little scary, is it not? If I go out there and do something right, that's easy to see how it's building up my character. But if I go out there and slip and do something wrong, am I tearing down my character? Well, a little bit, yeah. Yeah. Get this, Plutarch, he's a really smart guy. He said, character is simply long habit continued. Character is simply long habit continued. So we want to get into the habit of doing, taking those words that we've learned, praying, taking what the Holy Spirit has given to us and applying them, not just up here, but in our actions, okay? Years ago when Western part of the United States was being settled, the roads were wagon tracks, horse and buggy. And in the winter or in the rainy times of the year, they would have deep ruts. And there was this one, there was a sign. This one guy was driving along in his wagon. And he sees this sign and it says, avoid this rut or you'll be in it for the next 25 miles. Habit is something that you can do. It's something you can do without thinking, and that's why so many of us do that. It's so easy to have a habit that is bad for us. It's like a comfortable bed. It's easy to get into, and it's really hard to get out. This teacher and his student were walking in the forest, and there he came to four plants. One was just popped out of the ground, and the other one, the next one, was a well-rooted plant. The third one was a shrub, and the fourth one was a tree, full-size tree. And he told his student, he says, pull up that plant, the little one. And so the guy reached down there and pulled it out easily. The next one, he said, now pull that one out. And this was a small plant. It was a little harder, but he pulled it out. Then the shrub, he said, pull that out. It took everything he had to pull that one up. And then he said, go see what you can do with this tree. Well, he puts his arm around the tree, and he can't even shake the branches. And the teacher said, see, it's what a habit is. Really easy at first, but the longer you practice that habit, the harder and harder it is to pull that out of your character. Let's make sure that our habits lead to Jesus instead of something that's tearing down our foundation. Point two. Both builders heard Jesus' word, but only one did something. No one builds or benefits from the word until he acts on it in obedience. Profession does not avail unless one actually does the will of God. Here's an example, and Jerry will appreciate this one. A lot of us know a lot about health, at least Seventh-day Adventists, right? We know a lot about health. But how many of us actually do what we should to have good health? There is a doctor that said, actually, we take care of our cars better than we take care of our bodies. It's very easy to know a lot of stuff. It's very easy to know a lot of stuff in here, right? But it's a lot harder to actually put it into practice. But what does Jesus say? If you don't put it into practice, it's like you're building your house on sand. And that is really scary. It's a great danger for those of us who love the scripture to think that hearing is equivalent to doing. You know, we say, yes, I know Jesus tells us not to judge. I know that, and I shouldn't judge, and I need to have mercy, and then we turn around and start gossiping about somebody. That's not building up our character. That's not putting a block in our character. There was this seminary professor who taught in the Holy Land, and he heard that there was this man that had memorized the entire Old Testament in Hebrew. So he said, I got to see this. So he went to the guy's house. The guy said, yeah, I've memorized the entire Old Testament in Hebrew. And so the professor says, well, I got to see this. So he had his Hebrew Bible. They sat down, and the guy said, where do you want me to start? He said, well, Psalm 1:1, because Psalms was his favorite. So they started, and for 2 hours, the guy just recited the Bible from Psalm 1:1 in Hebrew. And the guy at the end, the teacher was saying, I just can't believe. I mean, you know, people learn text, but and in Hebrew, you memorize this in Hebrew. And the guy said, yeah, I'm an atheist. Well, did what he memorized do any good for him? No. He knew an awful lot. He knew more probably than anybody here. But if he doesn't apply it, what good is it? I guess it's good for exercise for your mind. But if you don't apply it, he doesn't know God, does he? He doesn't know Jesus. He just knows a bunch of words. A heavy rain was falling. This guy was driving down a road, and he rounded the corner. He saw this farmer that was sitting there looking at his fallen barn. And the guy pulled over, and he said, are you okay? He goes, yeah. He said, what happened? Well, my barn fell over. Well, why did it fall over? Well, there was a lot of rot and stuff in there, and I knew it. Well, why didn't you try to fix it? Well, when it was dry, I didn't have any need to do it. And when it was wet, it was too wet, so I couldn't do anything. And I just let it go until it fell down. Jesus said, only those who hear these sayings of mine and does them. Not when it's convenient, but all the time. So, point three. I told you it's going to be a short sermon. What can I do about it? How do I actually do it? How can I put these things that I learn into my character? How can I build a firm character based on Jesus? Okay, I have four or five things. One, read this. Now, I know it won't. You got to read this, though, before you can put it into practice, right? So read this and put it into practice. Well, I don't have time to do that. Well, get up an hour early. Get up 30 minutes early. Get up 15 minutes early, whatever you feel that you can do. Or if you like it on the other end of the day, you know, go to turn off the TV an hour or 30 minutes or something, but just read it. I personally like to have a book in my hand, but other people, like my wife, she likes the, you know, electronic version on their phones or whatever. But whatever it is, read it and put it into practice. Listen to what Martin Luther wrote. Everybody know Martin Luther, right? Okay. I study my Bible like I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree that the ripest may fall. Then I shake each limb, and when I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch, and I shake every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, like shaking the tree. I shake every limb. I study book after book, and then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters, and then I shake every twig, or a careful study of the paragraphs and sentences and words and their meanings. Let me tell you, when Martin Luther got done with a passage, he knew it. I mean, that's really incredible. Of course, he knew the Hebrew and all that. But I'm telling you, once you have that essence out of that passage, then you can apply it. Don't worry if you can only read a little bit. John Bunyan says this, read the Bible, read it again. Do not despair of help. You know, John Bunyan was the guy that wrote Pilgrim's Progress, right? Do not despair of help to understand something of the will and mind of God, though you think you are fast locked up from you. Neither trouble yourself, though you may not have commentaries or expositions. Pray, read, read, pray. For a little from God is better than a great deal from man. So it does not matter if you can't read whole chapters at a time. Read a verse. Read two verses, read a chapter, whatever you like to do, but read it and apply it, okay? Number one, that point one. Number two, memorize. Many people find that memorizing a passage of Scripture keeps it in their mind a lot better, and then during the day as you're working or whatever, just repeat it to yourself, and you start, the more times it runs through your mind, the more that you can remember, but also the more nourishment, I guess, you can pull out of it, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about? All of these are good ways to get the word into your mind. Another point. George Mueller says this, and he was a missionary, so to speak, but he also ran a lot of orphanages. And he had all kinds of, he supported many other missionaries, all, he never asked anybody for money, he just prayed. So he was a great man of prayer. And he says this, it is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the word in prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the scriptures when we don't enjoy them. And as if it was no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to keep us from reading this, right? I mean, he doesn't want you to read this. He doesn't want us to pray. This is back to Mueller. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read it, and the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. The less we pray, the less we desire to pray. If you don't desire to read the Word of God or to pray, do it anyway. The more you do it, the more you're going to love it. And, you know, all of us have the, there was a time where I read this through, it takes me about a year and a half to, I do a chapter a day or sometimes two, and I go through it front to back, back to front, New Testament, Old Testament, and, you know, after a while I got tired of it, and it was probably 6 months or something, 8 months, a year that I stopped reading it, and then it's like I didn't have any joy. I know when I go back into it then, though, I missed it. You find you missed it, you know. And now I can't be without it. I love it. But the thing is, don't quit just because I did it. I mean, don't quit. Just keep reading, even if you don't have the desire. And the desire will come back. Okay. So we're going to memorize. We're going to keep doing it, even if we don't feel like it. Another point is pray. Just like plants need water in order to live, you need the Holy Spirit in order to open your minds to understand this so you know what to build that foundation. How do I apply this to my life? I don't want, just like Jesus said, who does them, whoever hears these sayings and does them, I want to do them. But maybe sometimes you don't know how to do them. Okay? Pray. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And the Spirit is the one that can help you understand how to unlock. You know, you might read this and say, well, it has nothing to do. I don't even know what it says. But the Spirit can say, hey, this is what it says. And then how do I apply that to my life? I want to apply it. That's what Jesus said, apply it. The Spirit will help you understand that. Spurgeon said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or don't believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles along the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry land faith, and it's not good for much. What we're striving for is a deep, you want to swim in the deep passages. Yeah, you don't have to start with Revelation. Don't start with Revelation. Start with the Gospels. Start with Genesis. Start with whatever appeals, whatever God's opening your mind to. But don't be content with just being a milk Christian either, you know? That you want to challenge yourself with deeper and deeper spiritual truths because that's really how you make your foundation grow, okay? Don't worry if you're not, don't think you're learning much. You are. You're learning more than what you knew before. But don't be content just to paddle around the edges either. Don't be scared of really digging deep into those deep passages. Okay. Another point. Get into God's school. What do I mean by that? Well, if you've ever noticed, God seems to have every one of us in some kind of a school. Because have you ever noticed that you have a problem and when you just bomb out and you don't ever get the victory of this problem, guess what? He brings the same problem, maybe a little different style, but he'll bring the same problem again. And then sometimes he'll bring the same problem again and the same problem again, and he'll keep bringing the problem until what? Till you learn how to deal with that particular problem or temptation. And then what happens? He'll give you another one. But now you're in grade 2 instead of grade 1. God has grades. And he will continue to bring whatever it is that he wants you to deal with, and he will continue to bring them back again and again and again until... Why is he doing that? Well, he wants to purify us. What? Yeah, he wants to make us strong. He wants to grow us. What do we call that? What are we calling it today? We're growing our foundation, right? So be aware that you're in a school. If you're dealing with this problem, don't try to put it off, because guess what? God is going to bring it back again and again and again. Why don't you just buckle down and really learn what God wants you to learn and be victorious over it and go on to the next level. Amen. Make sense? Yeah. Don't try to do everything at once. God takes people by the hand where they're at. And if you're, we've seen people who are worshiping demons becoming Christians and teachers and doctors who have graduated college. And it's just amazing to see the transformation that God does. But guess what? It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years. Let's see. When we first went to the jungle in 94, there was two people who could read. And now, whatever 94 is to now, what is it, 30 years maybe? Or whatever. Then we see these people graduating college. 35? 25, okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. 25. But actually, that's even more remarkable. You get somebody that's worshiping demons that can't read, and now they're graduating college with degrees in, you know, education and PhDs and that kind of stuff. Well, not PhDs, doctors. God works little by little by little by little by little, precept on precept on precept. Even he says that. He doesn't try to cram a bunch of stuff down our throats. We build, 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 build. Just slowly, slowly, slowly. So if you're not growing suddenly like this, don't be discouraged. You're growing a little bit. That's what counts. Focus on one thing that God's bringing to you and gain the victory, and then he'll bring you the next thing. Another point, get involved in some kind of outreach. Why? Listen to this. One can acquire everything in solitude except character. One can acquire everything in solitude except character. Why is that? Because, huh? Yeah. What is it about other people that tick us off? I mean, other people just pop my trigger or whatever you want to say. Other people rub us wrong. I mean, it ruffles our fur or whatever you want to say. The other people is, Mrs. White talks about the other people being the finest kind of work, working with other people. Let me tell you, it's hard. You can learn all kinds of stuff in silence. You can learn, you can read, you can grow. But I don't think you can grow spiritually without other people. It takes other people to build that character. I think God actually did that on purpose so that we would have to interact with each other, that I would have to go out and say, Terry, I messed up. I am sorry. You know, I will try not to do it again, but, you know, please forgive me. Or I'll say to Bruce, you know, Bruce, something you do really irritates me, but, you know, I want to work together with you here, and we'll work it out. I mean, really, there's nothing that gets me. That's just an example. Maybe. No, it's... It takes people in order to grow our character. I think God did it on purpose. So get involved in some kind of outreach. Give, whether it's going to the senior center and working with those people there, feeding them a meal, whether it's going to a Bible study, whether it's, you know, and teaching somebody something, whether it is being active in Pathfinders teaching a Sabbath school class or whatever it is, get involved, and I'll guarantee that it will grow your character. It will grow your character. If you want to grow, get with other people. Character may be exhibited in the great moments, but it's made in the small moments. Don't think that your daily decisions are small or insignificant. They're not. They're crucial and earth-changing. Small decisions make habits. Character is simply a long habit continued. Character is simply a long habit continued. Lastly, come to Wednesday night. We have a great time studying the Bible. I'll guarantee you're going to hear, you may not hear what you like, but you'll hear God's word. You'll have a chance to discuss. You'll have, you'll get some, at least some grist to build those building blocks, if not actually laying some character building blocks. So, in conclusion, therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, he is a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rains can come, the floods of persecution, whatever can come, and will beat on the house, and it will not fall, for it was founded on the rock of Christ.